Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
I'm Eric Whitney. A little over an hour ago, the Montana House approved one of the biggest bills of this session, a historic water compact between the state, the federal government, and the tribes of the Flathead Reservation. Our Capitol reporter, Steve Jess, joins us now live to talk about what happened in the House today. Steve, even before the House met this afternoon, there was more drama concerning this bill in the morning. What happened in the Rules Committee?
Well, Eric, opponents made their case that the compact should require a two-thirds vote to pass on the floor of the House on the grounds that the compact gives some people immunity from being sued, and the state constitution requires a two-thirds vote before the state can grant immunity to anyone. Backers of the compact denied this, saying the immunity actually came from the state constitution and state law, and the compact was just spelling it out in detail. As in past laps around the track with the Rules Committee, the committee sided with the Speaker, Austin Knutson, and a short time later, a majority in the House overturned the decision, ruling that the compact could pass with just 51 votes. All that happened before the formal debate got started, a little after 1 o'clock this afternoon.
So once that debate started this afternoon, how did it go? Did it get heated at times?
Well, surprisingly, perhaps, the 3.5 hours of debate was actually pretty cordial, perhaps because everybody on the floor knew how it was going to turn out in the end. The only real personal conflict came when one lawmaker started thanking all the people responsible for bringing the compact to fruition, and somebody else called her out on breaking the rules. It turns out that mentioning other people by name is actually a no-no on the House floor. Other than that, the debate was very polite, and for the most part, it stuck to the issues at hand.
So you said everybody knew how the vote was going to come out, that supporters of the compact knew that they had the votes to get it passed in the House. But that didn't stop opponents from, you know, rising up to object to the compact, right? There were a lot of attempts to amend the compact, right?
That's right. Well, that's happened at every step along the way. In the committees, on the Senate floor, and now on the House floor, some lawmakers have tried to add amendments to the compact, either to take sections out or to add new requirements. Supporters opposed every one of the amendments because they say this is a negotiated agreement between the state and two other sovereign entities, the tribes and the federal government. It's a done deal, and only an up or down vote on it is appropriate, not any kind of amendments. Anyway, the compact opponents drafted about 20-some amendments and had them ready at the start of today's session. 13 of them actually got introduced on the House floor. Many of them were aimed at modifying or eliminating those controversial off-reservation water rights, which were based on off-reservation fishing rights granted in the 1855 treaty that established the Flathead Reservation. Every amendment raised today was voted down by a slim margin, usually 47 to 53 votes.
So now that the House has approved the Flathead Water Compact Agreement bill, does it have to go back to the Senate like the Medicaid bill did?
No, the Medicaid bill had to be voted on again in the Senate because the House had added amendments to it. As I mentioned before, the compact did not get any amendments. So once the House gives it final approval, which should come tomorrow, it goes straight to the governor for his signature.
And I just saw a press release from Governor Steve Bullock a few minutes ago that says he looks forward to signing the bill. Assuming he does that, when does the compact go into effect?
Nobody knows the answer to that yet, and it's hard to predict. It still has to be approved by the CSKT Tribal Council, and they're a legislative body, just like the Montana legislature, and then it goes to the U.S. Congress. And so it could take years to work through those two bodies. In fact, some compacts that have been approved in earlier sessions of the Montana legislature still have not gone into effect because they await congressional approval.
Congress not known for its speedy deliberations.
So, exactly.
We've talked a lot about the politics, and I know this is a really long and complicated piece of legislation itself. Can you sort of summarize what the compact does?
I'd rather not, but I'll do it anyway. As I understand it, the compact settles once and for all the question of what water rights the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes have in the Flathead Reservation. For 160 years, their treaty with the U.S. government has left one big unanswered question. Does the tribe's right to fish in their traditional fishing grounds outside the reservation give them any say in how much water should be in those streams. After all, you can't have fish if you don't have water, right? The compact settles that question, but also limits how much control the tribes have. This is a question that is...
Stop you right there. These off-reservation fishing rights, that was one of the reasons that the proponents of the bill said that the compact needed to pass, because if the compact doesn't pass, then those off-reservation water rights, those would have to be litigated in court, and that would take years and cost millions of dollars, right?
That's right, and the tribe has reportedly said that it planned on filing for water rights far off the reservation in places that may have been traditional hunting or fishing grounds at some point, but all the way practically to the North Dakota line.
Right.
So there are lots of farmers and ranchers who saw their water rights potentially threatened if this compact failed. Those questions are supposed to be settled by this compact, and the tribe will not file on those.
So, and, you were going to say, I think what's not spelled out in detail is how much water irrigators are entitled to receive in the compact, right?
That's right. There's sort of a formula and a promise that irrigators are going to be held harmless, but a lot of irrigators, especially those that are in charge of the Flathead Joint Board of Control, don't really trust the tribes or the other parties. They believe their water allocation could drop by as much as half once this compact goes into effect. That could basically ruin their lives, drive them off the land, and make it impossible for them to even sell their farms and ranches. Backers of the agreement, though, deny that. They say irrigators are going to get about the same average amount of water as they've received in the past. Another issue is that irrigators don't get an ironclad water right, but instead something called a certificate of delivery. Many of the irrigators say that's not good enough. They want to see a water right attached to their name, and that's the only thing they would settle for. They're not going to get that under this compact.
Steve, thanks for following this so closely for us.
Thank you, Eric.
Steve Jess is Montana Public Radio's Capitol reporter.